Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen, and no doubt a lot of people smiling if you're a Steelers fan, and that is news in this town, or 3-0, Paul, as you mentioned. That's a good football team they beat yesterday in the Los Angeles Chargers.
They looked like a good team to me.
Well, they had the best running back, and on paper, the best defense.
That's what I was most interested to see, is how was the Steelers' offense going to deal with that? And I thought that pretty well, considering. I mean, 20 points against the best defense in the league is not bad. There were the problem that the Chargers have is the injuries, though, I think is the big issue.
Right. Their quarterback went down again.
Yeah.
Jake Herbert, or Justin Herbert.
Justin, right?
What do you say, Jake? Jake Herbert's a wrestler from North Allegheny years ago, state champion. A shout out to Jake Herbert. Yeah. He ended up getting hurt again. He had an ankle issue, but he played, and then he got knocked out, and they brought in Heinicke, and he was swarmed under.
It's a long time since I heard that name.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke, but defensive captain all-everything Cam Hayward was asked about playing the other defense and outplaying at least the one on paper that was better.
Got to. It's a competitive league. And, you know, week in and week out, you're going to have different challenges. This was against another great defense. So, you know, to start the game, it was, you know, who's going to bleed first and who's going to keep punching and keep fighting. And, you know, early on, they had a lot of success. But I thought we settled in, especially in the second half. And then, you know, blood in the water at the end where, you know, we got a 2-score lead. And so, you know, we can really pin our ears.
I love that. Blood in the water and we could pin our ears back. And they did, man. They swarmed under. How about they possessed the ball for the last 5 minutes of the game? That's a recipe for winning football. And keep in mind, on paper, Justin Fields is the backup quarterback.
Right.
And I don't know that they make a change.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
Right? Indianapolis.
Stay with the hot hand.
You're rolling. I kind of wonder,
like a team like Miami's in real trouble. They've got another quarterback that's injured. You're wondering to yourself,
where you're going with this.
Well, yeah, but what could they get? I mean, the last time they made a deal with Miami, it was a good one, remember? Picked up Minka Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yeah.
That was a brilliant move. What could we get back? You know, Russell probably wants to play somewhere. And it's not his fault that he's not playing right now. It's just the way it worked out.
He probably wouldn't mind playing in Miami if he's going to play. And they need, they're not very good without Tua. So he's out indefinitely with a concussion issue.
I wonder if his career is over. I really wonder if it is.
You're getting the sense that he wants one more go at it. But still,
yeah.
I mean, it's tenuous at best. So maybe they trade with Philadelphia and get Kenny Pickett.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah, so
something's going to happen.
Meanwhile, your Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0 heading into Indy, and then they'll be back home a week from Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
That'll be a big night, Sunday night football. Meanwhile,
so I was up at Pittsburgh Mills just a couple of weeks ago and driving around in there and seeing the condition of the roads, which have been patched up for the most part. There's potholes everywhere. But in the parking lot, there are big potholes out by the Galleria area, where apparently they haven't been fixed for a long time. And to give you some idea of the trouble that this is creating, Fraser Township is suing over it. State Representative Mandy Steele, Larry, talked with KDKA-TV about the mess in the parking lot.
That is a recipe for disaster. People swerving into other lanes to avoid potholes. Combine that with people who are exceeding the speed limit. It is truly a dangerous situation. I urge people to use caution at the Mills.
Wow.
It's sad. To me, this whole story about the Mills, it was supposed to be this huge destination. At one point, they were talking about some kind of NASCAR thing there in the original plans, and to draw people, a destination point for that, right off at 28, you know, you could draw from the city, from the north, and it never caught on.
Well, you know, it was fairly busy up there, you know, where I went. The Walmart was very busy. The parking lots outside of some of the big box stores were pretty full. But you get over toward the Galleria, you've got an empty what is it, like a former hamburger shop of some kind, Steak and Shake. It's empty. It's just sitting there.
You know a mall's in trouble when some of the stores on the main floor are selling moist towelettes. That's...
Yeah, you're right, though. I have not been inside the Galleria in many, many years. But
it's a shame.
When I was there, it was pretty bleak.
They had, you know, one of those great theaters. I don't know. Is the theater still open?
I don't know. But that's the reason I was there.
They had an IMAX screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just thought, I kind of rooted for this to work. But it didn't happen. The timing, you know, for the malls overall. I mean, look at... Century 3 Mall was the destination point, and other malls have had their challenges. Now, the Ross Park Mall has a lot of unique stores, and they've been able to maintain, you know, enough traffic because they've got stores that nobody else has. So if you want to go to a Nordstrom's, you got to go there, or Tiffany's, or some of these other places. Have you ever been to Ross Park Mall, Aaron? This will be the test, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
Been there.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of times.
That's where Nordstrom's, by the way. I walked through there.
Nice store.
And I saw the shoe, Jimmy Choo shoes.
Oh, no.
And I
how
just
how
out of curiosity.
How expensive were they?
I picked up a pair of pumps. Not for me.
For the wife.
No, I didn't know. I just literally picked one up just to look at the price on the bottom. $700. Now, you tell me.
Who spends that on a shoe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I know. I don't know anybody like that.
Who can afford Jimmy Choo shoes for $700? The pumps. What's in them that makes them so expensive, for God's sake?
And do they hurt your feet, or are they comfortable?
I don't know. I've never worn pumps.
I just think that makes a big difference.
You tried to trap me on that one.
Meantime, by the way, they're still looking for this adult man who called a bomb threat in at Pine Richland High School. They had to put both the high school and the middle school, they had to shut them both down, close the campuses. It was just awful.
And the teachers and the students were locked down in the rooms, lights out, cowering in the corners. A lot of people, very emotional, crying, screaming. It was... mayhem, really. And it lasted, I mean, they were locked down for quite a while. I heard one report said 3.5 hours. I don't know if that's true. Bottom line is, teachers are shaken, students are shaken, parents, grandparents are shaken by what's going on. And that was just one example.
And now there's talk about criminal prosecution for these things. And I think that's a maybe we need some new laws. Maybe our lawmakers need to come up with something to, you know, put people in jail when they do that.
Well, they, you know, unfortunately, they're getting these young kids. You saw the one here.
They're charging the
young girl, 10 years old.
In Shaler, she's going to be charged with felonies and misdemeanors.
In Florida, 11-year-old boy. So it doesn't matter how old you are when you're doing this kind of threats to schools. It has a lot of families shaken and upset, and administrators trying to figure out how to mitigate it.
Mm.
So that's what people are talking about
this week with this giveaway.
I'll tell you, he is very, very popular. So we'll do that in the next hour. Meanwhile, we got the mayor coming in, 9 o'clock in studio. We're going to ask him about the city finances and the investment into the draft and what kind of economic impact that'll have.
Push back from some city council members on spending $1 million as a part of the bringing the draft here to the city.
I realize that it sounds like a lot of money, but just standing back of what potentially utilized properly can bring in, it's a real investment, in my opinion.
Well, the economic impact is going to be somewhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars, if I'm remembering it right.
Right. And the challenge is the COVID with the occupancy rates for businesses in the city is, you know, an epidemic across the country. For the most part, it's hard to get people to come back to the office. And last week, Amazon said by the first of the year, they're going to require all their employees to be back. Either you're in or you're out. And I would think a lot of companies at this point will start to follow suit.
I read an interesting article about that story over the weekend, and they focused on a person who has been working remotely for Amazon for quite some time, who is now confronting having to make a job change because,
right,
you know, he doesn't want to have that commute, nor does he want to move or upend the lifestyle that his family has been enjoying and the school that one of his children attends, that type of thing. So he's going to have to find something else.
Well, I understand that.
If he wants to, you know, have the life he's been living, which is, you know, high quality life, for at least from what I could see in the article.
Well, think about it. You're not in traffic for an hour. Let's just say the average commute is either an hour. In this town, it's probably around 45 minutes.
Yeah, lucky. Lucky for me, it's 30.
The rush hour sitting in traffic, man, feels like you're wasting time, right?
Yeah.
Both ways. If you're a traditional, you know, kind of 9-to-5 job, now you can eliminate that, right? You're working from home, and in a lot of cases, you had to pay for parking, and the parking rates downtown have skyrocketed, and so you're not paying those fees. And to be honest, what about lunches? You know, a lot of people might have gone out to get some grab-and-go lunch or, you know, something more expensive than they could do at home. And then there's childcare issues for families who are able to handle more by being at home. So it's hard to just say, well, you need to come back to work. If they can do it from home, they got a good argument.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So we'll see, though. I think there's going to be a hybrid situation in some cases to attract people to come to a new job. They've offered them the ability to do that, where you can be hybrid, but there's a value of being face-to-face with your coworkers.
At least once or twice a week, you know, but not every day. It doesn't seem to me.
A hybrid situation. In our case, we are separated by glass. You're like in a hermetically sealed room.
As well I should be.
As well you should be, and so is Aaron. I always joke it's like an aquarium here. You have 5 radio stations. You just walk from tank to tank and look at the species that's in our sports species. You got the country music,
wow.
You got modern music, you got Whammo, so everybody's different. It's kind of fun, but definitely there is a major push to get more and more people back in the office, which will help the economy of cities and tax rolls and commercial real estate, because everything kind of feeds off of that.
How long has it been since we started letting people, you know, come and go? I mean, it's been years here since the pandemic, basically, after the pandemic kind of eased and we started easing back into maybe a meeting a week. But
our sales staff and many of the office personnel are on a hybrid situation. Yeah. Some in, some days. I mean, there's a couple days where they have these meetings face to face. So
yeah,
that's kind of the new world.
And there's Wednesday, which is pizza day.
That's
and that
important.
Usually gets a big crowd, too.
Face it. That's why you got into this business. Free t-shirts, hats, and pizza. A little rain overnight. A few scattered showers around the region. Most of those from the city east right now. But off and on, we'll have a chance. So we'll check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg here in just a few minutes. Paul Rasmussen at our anchor desk. Hope you had a nice respite.
I did.
Do anything exotic or fun?
Nothing I can repeat. No, I'm just joking around.
Detaching is good.
Got a big project finished at home. Want to send my shout out to Lou the handyman, who does a lot of work for us up here at the station.
Everybody needs a Lou.
And he's terrific, but he got a drain installed for me in front of my door.
My guy in the neighborhood, his name is Pete. Pete is that guy that has all the tools, can fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's got tractors, got, you know, you name it. He's got it, and he's the go-to in the neighborhood. So if you need something, and you got Lou.
Aaron,
do you and Vinny have somebody in the neighborhood that can be that go-to guy to fix stuff?
So Vinny has literally one of his closest friends is probably more than double his age, and he knows everything about cars. He knows everything about cars. So just like if my oil needs changed or anything, he goes, drop it off at Mike's house. I'll meet you there. So I would say Mike is our only
Mike's
guy
got
right
it.
Now. Yes.
There used to be a guy named Nick. He passed away years ago at hardware store in Wexford. He had his own hardware store. He knew everything. Like, hey, Nick, I hate to ask you a dumb question. He'd kind of roll his eyes a little bit like, okay.
He's like, ask me whatever you want.
And then when you ask him, you know, he'd say, okay, this, 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 and this. Boom. Here's how you do it. Well, I'm glad your drain is fixed.
Yeah, that is a that's a big project. Water was end up pooling up right there at the threshold of my door, and it was doing some damage to the door frame. And
I'm curious, though.
Yeah.
Do you, as a newsman on vacation, do you make a conscious effort to detach a little bit?
I detach completely
from the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, I would check like once a day on what's going on, but you know what I mean. Like the life of immersion that we live when we're doing it.
Correct, because it goes on all day and evening, as Aaron can attest to, with late texts about guest changes. By the way, in less than a half an hour, Dan Zangrilli, who's our play-by-play extraordinaire high school football and basketball leader, has a big announcement.
He does.
He wouldn't even tell us.
Okay.
But it's coming up right after the news at 7. And in the meantime, we've got the mayor, Ed Gainey. We're going to talk to the mayor on a 9 o'clock hour. We've got Lenny McAllister coming in, our homegrown political analyst. And I try to detach over the weekends from the politics because we're so immersed in it all week here.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of a recap, here's CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
Vice President Kamala Harris raised $27 million at a fundraiser here in New York over the weekend, her largest financial win since claiming the top of the Democratic ticket. This as early voting is already underway in some states, and the prospect of another presidential debate seems dead in the water.
Join me on the debate stage.
Vice President Kamala Harris urged former President Donald Trump to debate her again yesterday after she accepted CNN's invitation for a late October debate. But over the weekend, Trump declined.
The problem with another debate is that it's just too late. Voting has already started.
Indeed, early voting began Friday in South Dakota, Virginia, and Minnesota.
I'm voting for all the Democrats, every last one.
I voted this time for Trump.
It comes as new CBS polls show the vice president with a slight edge nationally and in the battleground states. Harris has also made gains with voters who say the economy is a major factor, now just 6 points behind Trump.
I'm going to be giving a speech this week that is really to outline my vision for the economy.
Meanwhile, Trump was asked if he thinks he'll run again in 4 years if he loses in November.
No, I don't. I don't see that at all. I think that hopefully we're going to be successful.
While campaigning in North Carolina over the weekend, Trump made no mention of GOP gubernatorial candidate Mark Robinson, who's come under fire over inflammatory posts he allegedly made on an adult website. The Harris campaign is airing ads in an attempt to link the two in the must-win swing state. Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, hits the trail in North Carolina today. When asked about the state's Republican candidate for governor, Mark Robinson, in an interview over this weekend, he said, quote, allegations are not reality, adding that the issue will play out in the court of public opinion.
43 days until the political ads end. So I'm looking at it right now. Meanwhile,
tick-tock, right?
In New York, a big gathering of many of the nation's leaders in the world for a lot of issues to discuss, which have nothing to do with our politics at the moment. There are other fish to fry there. And so this will be an important weekend. I would imagine, can you even in your wildest dreams figure out how they're trying to secure these leaders all in New York, all in the same place? That's got to be a challenge with these, you know, new devices that these explosions took place against Hezbollah. I think a lot of people, it's just overwhelming to think about it.
The report that I read this morning, following up on that thing, and a matter of fact, we have new developments, by the way, in Israel and Lebanon this morning. I'll have that in about 15 minutes. But as I was reading that, apparently the Israelis were able to intercept a shipment of these pagers that was going to go to Hezbollah, and they were able to tamper with them in such a way that they could then use them to explode. It's just like something out of a spy movie.
Right. And Leon Panetta, the former Secretary of Defense, was interviewed yesterday, and he was saying, you know, this may open a new can of worms for this kind of back and forth. Yeah, there's a lot of serious issues to deal with at these meetings in New York, the United Nations. So we'll keep you posted. And coming up, we're going to check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg. Rain, what's that? Let's check in with meteorologist. We've got Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's headquarters. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry.
So this is finally a week where we're going to see off and on the chance of some showers here for the next few days, right?
Yeah, the heaviest of the showers, as you mentioned, is off to the east of the city now. But I think they're going to regenerate, you know, along the Ohio border and work their way eastward. So we're going to see a couple more showers and maybe a thunderstorm during the course of the day today. I think things kind of settle down this afternoon, and then tonight's quiet. But we get back into it tomorrow. In fact, as an area of low pressure trucks northeastward to our north, there could be some heavier downpours across there. It's really our best shot of rain for the entire week, or the day that has the most rain in it across the area.
This has not been the pattern for a long time.
No, it's not. I mean, the month of September has been extraordinarily dry. You know, it was, so far we've had, what, 0.61 inches? I guess if you add the 100th that we had at the airport, now we're up to 0.62, well below average for this time of the year. And September is not necessarily a wet month to begin with, but this has been extraordinarily dry. We'll play catch-up here this week, and then we'll have to see if any of the moisture from the system trying to develop in the tropics can get this far north. Right now, it looks like most of that stays to our south and west.
Jeez, Joe, less than an inch in just over 3 weeks. What's typical for September?
The whole month would be 3.3. For month to date, would be 2.5 inches. So we're well below normal for the month. It's going to help out the fall colors pretty nice, but the streams and aquifers could really use some rain right now, and the gardens and lawns. Like I said, our best shots tomorrow. Then after that, I don't think much happens for the rest of the week. Shower here and there on Wednesday, probably dry on Thursday and Friday.
So what you're saying, Joe, is we're abnormal.
Exactly.
Okay. Do make a note of that.
I will.
Joe, appreciate the update. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather. Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmus and Dan Zangrilli, our resident play-by-play voice and the man behind our high school football and basketball coverage, has got an announcement. Aaron, you don't know what it is. You won't tell me. So I got to wait and listen, too. So we'll find out what's on Dan's mind. And I've got maybe good news or bad news, Paul. Aaron, if you travel, there's a sale of a budget motel chain.
Motel 6 will be under new management soon. Parent company Blackstone has agreed to sell the hotel chain to India-based Oyo in a deal worth $525 million. The agreement includes the company's Studio 6 locations and is expected to be wrapped by the end of the year. There are more than 1,400 Motel 6 locations across the U.S. and Canada.
You ever stay at a Motel 6?
Yeah, I have in the past. They're pretty handy. Generally speaking, they're close to off ramps and exits, and you know, you just drop in real quick.
He's going to leave the light on for you?
Yeah, that's Tom Bodette.
Tom Bodette. Do you ever stay at a Motel 6, Aaron?
I don't think I have. Maybe once.
Do you know how the name Motel 6 came to be?
I do not.
When they opened the first one up, they said, you know, $6 is our rate for the night. Back
six
in the day.
$6.
Holy moly.
Yep. Been a long time.
You can't get a toilet paper roll for $6.
Exactly.
Right.
I stayed at a Motel 3 once.
But that was something.
Motel 3.
PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement Traffic Center.